This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Britain's steel industry fights for survival. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripathma, filling in for Anu Anand. Good morning. Here in the UK, talks between the government and the country's second biggest steelmaker have collapsed, forcing the company into insolvency. British Steel employs 5,000 people across the UK. It's not the only challenge facing the steel industry in Britain and more broadly in Europe. US tariffs on Chinese steel has seen more of the metal heading Europe's way, which is having an impact on prices. Charles Deluisnon is the spokesperson for the European Steel Association.
For every 3 tonnes of steel that would have gone to the US, 2 tonnes have come to Europe, and we're talking now 29 million tonnes of steel arriving at the EU, which is a growth of 12% over 2017, which was already a record. Allied with such problems as global overcapacity, simply too much steel in the world, and Europe is an open market, apparently ready to accept it.
What's that doing to the market in terms of demand, supply, cost?
The problems that we are seeing today and that are clearly affecting British Steel, but have also had their impact now on some European plants, which announced that they were idling 2 or 3 weeks ago, is actually a confluence of many problems arriving all at once. So there's the global overcapacity I mentioned, there's the booming imports, there's high and volatile raw material prices, there's high carbon costs, there is the slowing demand for steel in Europe, which is a consequence of the slowing economy across the EU. And then obviously there is Brexit uncertainty. And together, this is causing a sort of somewhat poisonous cocktail of problems, which is coming together to cause difficulty for EU steel.
And that was Charles Deluisnon speaking to me earlier. Let's do the numbers. Trade fears are keeping global stock markets muted today. Meanwhile, Brexit uncertainty has sent the pound to a four-month low against the US dollar. Too little is being done to protect people from heat waves, storms and floods. That's according to a group called the Global Centre on Adaptation, which is led by the former Secretary General of the United Nations, Ban Ki-moon. The group is concerned about how climate change is triggering more natural disasters in the world. Mr. Ban told the BBC that President Trump's decision to pull the US out of the Paris Climate Change Agreement had caused lasting damage.
As a former Secretary General who had been passionately and energetically addressing this climate change phenomenon, I cannot but express my deepest regret, even anger, about what the United States government has been taking now since President Trump has taken his office. United States and China combined together produce 34% of global greenhouse emissions. Now, United States is not taking global leadership. That is really shaken the international community's unity and solidarity.
That was Ban Ki-moon. Here in Europe, we're gearing up for elections to the continent-wide parliament, which kick off tomorrow and end on Sunday. Voters in 28 countries will elect over 750 members of the European Parliament for a five-year term. Some polls are expecting a surge in support for populist parties. Yesterday, we heard from Italy's former Prime Minister, Paolo Gentiloni, Today, it's the turn of Finland's Foreign Minister, Timo Soini, who's been deeply sceptical of the EU.
I'm Timo Soini, approaching 57th birthday. I have been MEP in European Parliament and now Minister for Foreign Affairs of Finland. Europe has changed quite a lot. Actually, when I changed the politics, the Soviet Union still existed. And when it collapsed, it of course opened the door for quite many countries to join the European Union. The fate of the European Union will be decided by the fact that can they deliver? And what I think delivering is sustaining peace, sustaining a prosperous environment for businesses, certain kind of security for their people. Can they compete on the world level with the likes of China, US and even Russia in security policy-wise? And I think these are the big questions which will decide the fate of the European Union. It can survive and it will survive if it can take this in account, but they should be very, very careful that they are not going to live in the ivory towers of Brussels dictating and thinking what is best for the people. And that is why I think these populistic and Eurosceptic movements are good in that sense, because they are challenging the elites to deliver the policies better way. Populism is a very versatile term, and it can be used in many ways to name and blame, but also in a constructive way. Populism can be seen kind of the thinking of the rank and file. It started as a co-op movement actually in US 1970s, and it was kind of the shortcomings in the systems and malfeasance of those people who were holding the power and didn't take the ordinary people's worries seriously. But let me will be very clear. I don't accept any kind of hostile approach to the people or xenophobic policies. I have never been that kind of politician. I have been, in a way, good humor populist challenger with conservative family values, but not hate. Hate is always a destructive force which doesn't produce anything good.
That was Finland's Foreign Minister Timo Soini. Just before we go, a Chinese propaganda song about the trade war with the US has become a big hit in karaoke bars in Beijing. One to remember for the weekend. In London, and I'm Vishala Sripathma with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.